here. I feel the Sunday service is always, earlier. Megan's here earlier the other day, maybe, not sure, depends. And then we have those 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, have a seder in the basement. So we have, we're in upper room with no one else there, basically. You have a start of seder where I was sitting with Talmidim in the basement. And if that would work out, then maybe I'd be able to sit in the basement from 9 to 11. Actually, now I have trouble with the people. Shortage of seats, and there's a shortage of, I may try to arrange that we just have even if we given a certain corner of the base medrash. Say that in the base medrash, we have, we're in upper room with no one else there, basically. You have a start to say that where I was sitting with Talmidim in the base medrash. And if that would work out, then maybe I'd be able to sit in the base medrash from 9 to 11. Actually, now I have trouble with the people. Shortage of seats, and there's a shortage of, I may try to arrange that we just have to be given a certain corner of the base medrash. Whatever we need, a section. We can have all of our Talmidim in one place. But I have to be honest, I'm a little disappointed. Talmidim didn't show up. And I go look around here and there. And of course, if I'm sitting there and you don't show up, you're going to dip a cheer after a while. Because I, the trade-off is probably what I'm thinking about, the trade-off of maybe less hours of shiur proper, but more hours of mandatory based medicine. It's always mandatory, I have to be there anyway, but to the point that if you're not there, I may ask you to leave. That's what I'm thinking about. I have to go to the halak, they buy me for this, I don't know how that, I was thinking of another possibility of having some kind of Chazara seat, something you were asking me about. Maybe having like a, right? Like having that at 9 o'clock in the morning for half an hour. For those who are interested, they can sort of make it voluntary. And then have the regular seat shorter so that I can. I don't know, all these things are entering my mind, particularly for two reasons. A, because of the nature of the lima that we're having. It's not going to be the same as this past month, he went straight. A little bit more jumping around. We've had that in the last 3 years. It's more if we're going straight, more or less. The closest thing would be what we had in the 3 years ago. No one's even here then. We jumped around as a part of the second term. More like the summer. That would be more like the summer. That's a mountain of payments. We net it. We tour, we come out of the lane. And Mamish has a good exact summer. This summer we had, if you don't know, we're there. We had a shiur for an hour. And then the next morning, the Chazara Shia was said, and we'll have to go, so you want to come to the Chazara Shia once again? I'll ask if you want. Okay, whatever you do, whatever. And it worked out very nicely. And I think that maybe we should try to take the some of the lessons in the summertime and try to maybe learn them for the springtime as well, spring term as well. For the springtime as well. So all this is tentative, nothing is finalized, but I wanted to mention that with some of my machshavim. If you have any ha'aretz around that, any suggestions, pros, cons, etc., don't be shy. If you see a kind of speak to me, or I'll be around next week, you can talk it over and see what's the best thing for everybody. Yagos are the yagos. Okay. I need to warn Talmidim, well, so maybe they want to come in for next month. I know that they want to come in from here, from next row. Tell them that, the night from being here every single day, and I'm on time, maybe they just get themselves involved. Alright? Right. We're now concluding the state of Yodata Gisholam Ha'olecha. It begins now in the last broken parish called Perakei. A woman, Bitiva, from her nature, wants to do its own violence. Wants to do what her husband says. And the husband therefore has to say what to do. So the woman asks the husband, how should I fix up the furniture? We mentioned this before. He said, do whatever you want. What do I? That's an insulting answer. You know the truth. The husband couldn't care less if the couch is here, the piano is there, or vice versa. What does he care? But he can't say that. He asks, which doctor should I take the children to? What do I say? I know about doctors. You know. You have to sit and think with her, well, this doctor, this plus. That's what. You have a husband to not think he's doing his wife a favor by giving her free rein. Whatever you want. No, you're not doing her a favor. She wants the husband to be a baal habayit. A baal means a board. I mean, she wants the husband to be a measure of a board. Certainly, when it comes to ruchnius, the husband has to be the quote-unquote the paisik for the house. If he gives specific answers. He gives a very beautiful idea over here. If the yeshiva bachurim, especially in the yeshiva, she receives, they're not interested in halacha too much. They're learning studies, yeshivas, the maitzah, they're learning the faith of time, kotshim, whatever they're learning. Comes to shaila, I don't know, we'll be machmer. I don't know anything. Machmer. First of all, it's no good to flop. Every single bit is too cool. That's the five point. He says, this has no makom in her house. It's a yeshiva makom in a dormitory. You want to be makomim? Fine. In your house, you can't do that. You can't tell your wife, I don't know, we'll be makomim. That's the woman doesn't want to hear that. Doesn't want to hear that. You have to, if you have a shayla, you have to figure out yourself, or if you don't, go to a moro haro. Go to the rav in town, say, what's the din? I don't know. The rabbi may say, I don't know, come back tomorrow, and then I will know. I don't have to know by tomorrow. That's his job. So, it's a klal important. A person should know some of halachas, halacha lamaisa when he gets married, a little yoredeya, which means taras mishpacha, no one ever went in for shayla. There are some people who the teva are always about. They're indecisive. Whenever they're indecisive, they'll just throw the chuppah. That's only when you're a book. Once you get married, you cannot live that way anymore. It's not wuzu ein mekom habayit. You have to have a psak borer. You can't be knocked on someone else's judgment. To be taught a lot that way, right? You know the story with the water. You can't be knocked on someone else's judgment. Kal v'chomer. You can't be knocked on your wife's judgment. I don't know. So we'll be knocked on my wife's judgment. You can't do that. Impossible. It's an interesting thing, because there are cases where the wife is far and away superior to a husband in professional life. That there should be a principal in a school, so when he's up, he's a bamalacha, he's a quote-unquote menial work. You think, oh, she's up there, she's a kid. And he is, he's a janitor, let's say, I don't know what he does. Yet when it comes to the house, she wants him to be the book. Tef of the meaning, she's not going to say. If you want her, someone to look up to. That's it. It's part of the Tev Aisha. You have to give her the possibility to do so by giving guidelines. So what the poor are going to do is, why can't I learn better than he does? Simple. Go to the Rava here, who knows how to learn better than she does. And say, I have a child. But she knows, she probably knows that Mr. Brewer got to know the Shulchan, and he doesn't know from nothing. We'll go to the Rav in town and say, on Muslim. Then it also. She'll say, I'm going to ask her, what's the Muslim? Don't bother me. I went to Rav X, he's the Rav in our city. He said, oh, very good. Yeah. Oh, it's not shy. He has very strong opinions. Woman wants you to bow, I would suggest not to marry her. First suggestion. Yeah, they actually said that's not supposed to be that way. The husband's supposed to be, as he quotes, he talks of Leo Kol Ish. That's true. But that part is good, he said. That part is good. What? Very good question. She went to school in St. Jacob, and there they taught her certain things. And you went to school in Yeshiva Dominican Sephardim, they were different things. They bought Machmir. Don't laugh, they managed to escape. What do you do? You win. How do you win? Unless, yeah. person leaves the yeshiva, every person wants to have a rav. That's not a rav. I'm still the rav for many talmidim who have had these yeshivas for 20 years. They still call me out. They call me every day when they have something that is serious. So they call me up. I get shaylos from the West Coast, and the shaylos from Long Island. People who remember me years ago. Whenever they had a shaylos, they called me up. A serious shaylos. And obviously the woman was mekabel upon herself that, okay, if they have a question, they come to me. And they had a more local shaylos, they go to the local shul, the rav in the shul, and they go to him. That's the cool. That's not a rav. I'll tell you an interesting story. There's a young man who I know was going out with a young lady, and she was a balav shuva, and they were going out seriously. And the question became, when they get married, who's going to be the rav? Who's going to be their rav? So my name was suggested. But this lady was very tentative about, you know, giving a life over to some rabbi. I mean, when he says go, call me up. For a couple of phone conversations, and they broke up. The issue was primarily, I mean, the first conversation went okay. Then she called back an hour or two later because she really had to answer the pressing questions, such as, how do you like to intermarriage and things of this nature? I was a little bit too harsh for her liking and that issue. Intermarriage. I said, intermarriage is really a bad thing. You know, we really should not to give it our approval, and have to be a little bit strongly against it. That was a little too much for us. So, again, that was the issue over which this wasn't meant to be. But, let's talk money for a few minutes. Money. The husband has the responsibility to support the family, period. Then the Ketubah will discuss it by Rizos next term. Vana Efla for Otis, for Afani, to see you live in Yosuvan Yudon, the Polkin, the Zonim, and the Fathers, and the Shem, the Kushta. A man accepts upon himself to support his family, his wife, his children, his obligation. I there's no money, you have to get a loan. The husband's obligation to take a loan. The wife should have to go snore for loan. Here's a very important point. It's terrible when a woman has to come to a husband for an allowance, whatever she needs, an expense. The washing machine broke. Ryan, can you give me $100 for the washing machine? Even if he gives her the money every single time she asks for, without exception, it's still degrading. But she has to go ask him, you know, is he calling his, how he wakes up that morning? Are you going to give him money for the washing machine? Degrading. Degrading. His lashon over here is demashpil. It's degrading. A man should make sure that the woman has enough for all running expenses. She should have enough without even saying a word. Yeah, of course, major expenses they should consult together. You know, they want to buy a new house. And you go, honey, I just bought a house today. What? Or a car or something else. A major expense they should talk about together. But the general expense time, you know, buy clothing for herself and the children. She doesn't go ask him for money. Because some people use it as a weapon or as a means of control. I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience. Women complain, my husband is angry at me. We had a little bit of a spat, and he won't give me money to take my kids to take them to the doctor. Until I apologize, because that's ridiculous. That's terrible. This man is terrible. Because a woman wants to buy a certain piece of furniture for the house. He's just thinks to himself. That's what you want, I think it's beautiful, okay, you have to just swallow what you think. And she needs it, she wants it. As long as you're not going to go broke over it, you have to let her buy what she wants. The best thing I told you before is give your wife full control. He says, full control. You bring the money in, she takes the money out. That's the best way, division of responsibility. You make it, she spends it. That's how it works in my house. That's how it works in my house. I have to give my wife for money. you know, so I can press buttons myself, you know, the ATM. But usually she presses the button. And I say, you know, give me money. She gives me the money. That's good. That's the way it should be. A man should not use money as anything in his character. If your wife is capable, but she's not, then she has to pay the bills. You know how much time it saves me? My wife runs the office. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of money. I appreciate how much how much paperwork she puts in. You know, not just, you know, checks, you know, to make sure the checks come back and I cancel and any of that. But also, you know, insurance payments, you know, health insurance payments for the kids, and some of these bills have to pay, electric bills, phone bills, oh yeah. Hours and hours and hours of work. My wife was a great talent and a great trustworthiness and everything's great. I don't have to worry about anything. Mom is both out of all they bought. I don't want that money at all. All I do is a check comes. So I give her the check or whatever. It is. Now she signed my name in the back. I don't know what that's going. That's it. That's the ideal. You didn't have to marry a nation's tax. No numbers, no figures, no books. Yeah, not every woman wants to do it. I recommend it, though. If she's capable, that's the way to do it. Next. She should go to Side Sin. My wife never went to Side Sin. She got a college degree, it's true, but she was doing it before a college degree. You have to be capable, that's all. Now, spiritual substance. Before marriage, a young lady gets spiritual sustenance from her parental home, from her school, from her you know, whatever, say, doctor, the seminary she's going to, whatever rebellion she may have in the neighborhood or elsewhere. Now the husband that marries her is required to give her this sustenance. She usually don't know no longer ago. Some men are afraid to face up to this challenge. After all, as he writes, look at this, amazing. Yitachen, she'ishto lamda yoter prokem batuzeri, the Ramban, over Mishnah me'aliyo, mimash hu yitzik l'mot, ki arei osuku roshu ruba b'gemoro in the first half. But she knows more than you. Yeah. She doesn't feel that the kuzri you did, she doesn't know about how much you did, she doesn't know about how you did. Al da'aga, not to worry. Wife knows this, they taught this in the Beit Yaakov, that's what a Ben Torah really is. Look, you'll find a way to develop a common language with your wife in Ashkafa, whatever you'll teach, Chumashin Rashi, you'll learn with a book. At the table, you'll talk there, about Ashkafa, you heard from somebody, you with a Torah or something like that. Very important. You have to look out from Ashkafa, one of those kitzur books. When? Shimitz Yemei HaMishnah. Go to work. During those 7 days, you sit down together with all those kitzur books, or the Ida's book, or whatever they have down there. What's that? There are comments from Kala Kahana, that's all his book, Tara Batutro, whatever. Oh, one of the books. You sit down and go over some of the basic halachas together. Put Nogel and Isa right away. Yeah. Both.
So if I have 3 hours instead of learning one
you learn 2.5 hours with your chavrusa and half an hour, you know with your wife? That's all.
So
it's
far.
You bet. Now, a husband that's prepared the very Torah to say about the Shabbat fish. Or, you know, other simple confession. Because the person he quotes the rush. Catch his mouth. Va itim the Torah. Kodem achila ushiva. V'dibarta lama shulchanecha. V'hizharta v'anshei beisecha l'hadrichem al pi ha-tora v'chol ha-drok ha-dvorem ha-trichem ha-tora lishmer piyem il yitzkale. Yitzkila z'dino shel odom kvi yitzitim la-tora. So he asked the kasha, what do you mean? It's all kvi yitzitim la-tora. He asked the same thing. In the middle you talk about things, talking to your people from your household about what's going on. That's the answer. If you're covered, eat them by the table, it's fine. In other words, you shouldn't talk at the table if something's happened. There's two men there, you have a guest. They talk to them about the souls within the sea, which is Kachim, which is Kachim, And the wife doesn't know what in the world is going on. She's not way beyond her. No. Talk about that some other time. Family try to talk about Professor Rashi, or some even some halachic topic, halacha lemaaseh, halacha Shabbat. Something which she'll understand. Very important. Very important. Of course, the case, unbelievable. A man with such a big matzvah, every meal, he would sit there with a sefer in his hand. Didn't pay attention to his wife, who was sitting right opposite him. Right, like this. In kol ratona isha, shebala yeh matzvah. With all her desire that her husband should be a matzvah, the vadai han hagazu pogazbo, I would say. But look at her. She's sitting here, she puts the food down, she's going like this. She's sitting, that's crazy. Because it happened. Somebody told her, Mother. Come on, man. I mean, it's crazy. You have to know where the water is living for everything. Here is the critical question about a man should not be, what I say, in a situation where he wants full control. Full control is what I call abusive. And I've seen it, unfortunately, in my rabbinical career, I've seen it. The man wants to be in full control. His wife ends up being, in effect, a doormat, a schmata. But all of her accomplishments, she can be a PhD, she can make more money than he does, doesn't matter. He's going to be in control. It's pachet. Sometimes we see if the woman outpaces her husband in professional accomplishments, academic achievements, and money she's making, she feels like an idiot. So he's going to have to assert himself in the house. All right, we'll see who's boss. He'll be the absolute boss. I've seen it, and ends in divorce. Shoot the kimashmo. The woman can take so much. And especially if she's able to be professionally accomplished, she thinks she can survive financially, she's going to have to stop it. 50 years ago, she felt abused. Sometimes even hit, battered, literally. What would she do? She'll go out and she's going to be destitute. Of course, collect money and a chore or something. What's the difference with this monster? What can I do? I'm stuck with it. Today, she got a job. You won't get a job. I need it because I'm going to live my whole life with this mashugana. Forget it. A man should never, ever seem that he's using his position to exercise control. That's the Talmud says, quote, have he all of the palada, to the shei beitza yotza mikulam. No woman should have the feeling that he wants to conduct himself bishal tanut. What's going to say that? Domination. That's very good. He should be a domineering figure in his own home. The Gemara Chulin says a person should eat and drink less than the money which he has. He should clothe himself according to what he has. And clothe his wife with more, and his children with more than what he has. Why? Simple. Shehein Pluyin Bo, because they depend upon him, his wife and children. V'hu Tolei B'mishama V'hoya Ha'olam. He depends only on Hashem. What does that mean? They all depend upon Hashem. That's the answer. Since they are dependent upon him as well as being dependent upon Hashem, and to give them more than he gives himself. So they should not think for a moment, Shehu Menatzel Es Tulusam Bo Mekaper Otam. They should not think for a moment that he's exploiting them, because he somehow is in charge of the purse string. Very important. Very important. A person should always give in to his wife. Always. Since he's supposedly in a higher situation position, a person who's higher can give in to one who's lower, the other one has to work. It's called Rav Shach Shlita. He tells the Chassanim, the Abrezim, Lishtadel Levater Yoter Vyoter. Give in more and more and more and more. Ain't that Simon Chulsha? It's not macho. I should give in all the time. Sign of weakness. Hell, they have to sign of strength. Someone's strong. You can afford to give in all the time. This is Rav Shach's advice. Always give in. Oh, I repeat. Always give in. She's talking about, feisty by nation. What do you mean, give in? What? She's going to tell me what to do. Yes. Yes. Give in.
Is it just getting a lot? Or is it a
true at all times. Terrible. I think it was wrong. He said, but in Europe, the guy was telling me, this guy was getting divorced, his wife threw him out. But in Europe, everyone did it this way. The father was divorced, and the mother never held a shmata. It was terrible then. They quote got away with it, maybe, but now they're not going to get away anymore. I thought it was good then, it's not good now. It was terrible then also. Then it was less divorced. The woman had no alternative, no option. Now they're walking out. Serious, a serious problem. The Maharal says, the Maharal says, this is Baba Matiya, Nun Testament Allah. Catch this now. The Olin Ye Odom Zorib O Noaz Ishto. She be told she did Osa Mitsuya O No Osa Krov. Because she cries more easily, her O No, her, you know, being hurt with words, is closer. She's suddenly saying, you know, Sam, the woman is more sensitive. Says the Maharal, no. Because Habal Moshe Lalea, there when she feels worse. From Yeshla and Onom and Bala, he is Pa'elot Biyotzer. Lachain Zim Osa Metsuya. In other words, the wife wants her husband to be the boss in the house. That's true. In Tatshani, she doesn't want to give up on her own self-worth. Therefore, she's going to be hurt more by her husband's even small comment against her than by anybody else. Therefore, we have to take care of the women as well as we can. We must not say anything to hurt a wife. Anything. Anything. So careful. The man hurts his wife with words or with actions, is not sufficiently sensitive to his wife, he'll be punished. And even though his punishment will cause his wife greater harm, it doesn't make a difference. He's been out of the chaver, it's like a burning fire. You see, you know, it's the law of nature. You cause someone hurt, you'll be punished. Period. Period. Famous story of Hannah and Penina, as we have in the truth. Penina, L'Shem Shemayim, is coming. Nina was teasing Chana for Shem Shana as we go down. What happened if you lost the 7 kids? Right? 7, 10, I don't know. She lost all of her children. Rabbas Bonim Umlolo. Ask of Chaim, but she met the Shem Shemai. So Chaim said, if you go into a fire, the Shem Shemai, you're going to get burned. Burning another person is a fire. That's what Chaim said. Wow. And here's a key thing on both sides. Don't be lazy. There are cases where a woman works a kishka job. She gets up early in the morning, goes to work, does the household chores, if their children take care of the children, so the husband can learn yeshiva. And the husband, the newspapers, you know, for a few hours, maybe he's a little watch TV, or stop it to play. It's an easy life, he gets to develop the porch, he's living in a life of Raleigh, she's breaking her back. It is? I'm going to break my back? I'm willing to sacrifice something, you should be a master to go to. Alright, yes, you can talk to him when he eats supper, so look down at the table. But after that, go to your snorer, don't sit around, you know, do four. It's terrible. And don't forget, she has a chelik in your learning. Want that stuff. So therefore she wants, when you don't learn, you're causing her damage. When you're single, you don't learn, you're causing yourself damage. When you're married, you don't learn, they can put up with you. And I'm giving up so much, you can learn that. You wouldn't be learning, you would be making me more money, you would be doing this. I'm giving up on all that. So you're learning to learn. Very important. Very important. Finally, in this context with Sarah, if you don't know what to do, you're stuck. Ask a row. Don't talk to your friend. I told you before, a married couple of united front. Never go to your parents. Never go to your friends or your relatives. As far as they know, the marriage is absolutely perfect. Never let on anything. The problem, go to the row. The rubble doesn't keep his mouth quiet. we'll tell everybody else about it, and we'll try to solve it. Now that we go past that point, and then the whole world will know about it, and hear the pots and pans flying. But cold man, it's not known. Don't speak to your relatives, don't speak to your friends. If you have a problem, you need Eitzah, speak to her up. For two reasons. One is not true. There's no better one than what Eitzah to give you. And two, he'll be quiet. But one is half to say. They have to be quiet. That's an order to be not told. The Rebbe Blavis is Mishka Rav. He'll give you an Eitzah. If he feels he can't do it, he'll give you, he'll tell you where to go to. I know often I can't help the person. I go to a psychologist, I go to a psychiatrist, I go to a marriage counselor. I've given people advice, and they pull me back and say, Rebbe, thank you so much, you told me this guy, he's great. Solved our problem. Mamish. A couple came to me, from meeting my mind, and they had a problem. I inquired by the people who did this to go to some circumstances. They had gone to somebody else and said, well, maybe it was not so good. And I went to the guy who I recommended. He's much better, and he they stayed with him for the whole duration of their problem. And they didn't tell any of the neighbors. They didn't tell their parents. They didn't tell their friends. That's a box of the marriage of. And I'm telling you, it was such a problem that they were gone to the mothers and sent it to the rabbanim. They would have gone to the neighbors. Who knows what would happen? I'm telling you, who knows? And this is a Talmud Mutzma, a Talmud Kofa. What a tremendous Talmud among them. Problem. Well, I put him on the right path. I spoke to myself a little bit, and then I told him who to go to. Baruch Hashem, we don't know him that way. Siyum. Final words of Siyum, last few pages, is that your house is a school for chesed. The whole life coming in your home as a married person is a way of doing chesed. Martin Stoffel of the Talmud, there's no one close to you than your own wife. Your chiv of chesed to her is greater than any other person. It's called an interesting phenomenon. I've seen it too. A person is a tremendous Baal Chesed. He runs the Chevra Kadisha, and he runs the Bikka Kolam, and he runs the Shul, and he runs the Mikvah, and he runs the... this yeshiva, and he runs everything. He's running to chassana for people. In his own house, he's a bum. He yells at his wife and his kids. Charity begins at home. Kibbutz chassana begins at home. You have to take care of your own wife and of your own children more than anybody else. I heard the tape you gave it from my friend. He bought it for the safer. Who? What do you call that from? A raven? Something like that? Something like that. We said that if a person does all of his nice and for the community, but he goes to Bezin Shomala, then they only ask, what did he do in his own house? In his own house, behind closed doors, he was not about Bezin. All of his custodians to the outside will not help him. Wow. I'm telling you, okay, the first was an active in the community, an officer in the synagogue, etc. Great guy, yeah? Behind closed doors, he was terrible. He hit his wife. He tried to establish absolute total control and domination. And she finally walked out of him. I tried putting so many hours. She walked out. The community was shocked. How could it be? This guy is such a, you know, what is it? He was not conducting himself at home properly. You have to have what we call love and affection and kind spiritedness between the members of the couple. And this can stop, this can prevail even in this difficult circumstance. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, when we loved each other, we were able to manage on the edge of a sword. Now that we don't love each other, a bed of 60 amos can't hold us. Like 100 feet. Huh? That is proper kindness. The Gemara says, Jamilas Chasadim, the Gufo was greater than Sukkah. We're on Sukkah. as we mentioned before, paying attention to something is beautiful, folks. Smiling at that person, being considerate, asking how the person is feeling. This is the greatest opportunity for this mitzvah exists between a husband and his wife. He quotes the stipler. The stipler halacha, another stipler hashkofa. Quote, Misha osa kiru v'chibuk v'chayotzibel, l'shem shamayim. Man is basically saying, a man who is hugging and kissing his wife, l'shem shamayim. Because he feels bad and she needs the physical support to make her feel better. Shouldn't think that I'm sitting and learning and it takes our time to hold his wife, to give her physical support, it's going to weaken his Yerushalayim, it's going to cause him lustful thoughts. Adrava! The viyasa lizei kedusha, umetayim is a mitzvah that says the raisa, the volach the bedrocha, mahu racham avataracha. Doesn't for his own satisfaction, different story. He's doing it for his wife's benefit, then it's the greatest mitzvah. He's doing this following mitzvah that says the raisa mamish. Where do you find that? You need bodily contact to establish this kind of emotional contact. Because of the tells of Rosh Hashiva that Yaakov Avinu, when he gave the bracha, this is the Chumash, right? Coming to the next week's parsha. He gave the bracha to his grandchildren. So it says, Vayishak lehem, Vayichabek lehem. What's this? A movie? Yaakov Avinu's life coming to an end. The last scene of the movie, he hugs them, he kisses them, they all start to cry. That's what happened over here? No! Shvarna was playing. Aisha Glam, Ayakabek Lahem. Today she tidbak nasha behem, vitokal alayim virchoso. A bracha requires contact between one person and another. Yaakov Avinu was the most spiritual person right before he was dying. And his bracha was about spiritual matters, about Ephraim, about Menashe, about Yeshua, about Gideon, about all kinds of things. You have to kiss him and hug him? Yup. Even Yaakov Avinu, the great man, right before his death, he's a physical dimension to maintain this kind of close emotional contact. That's what it means. And the fact that the right hand is on this head, the right hand is on the head, and the left hand is on, what's the difference? No. Even the physical dimension of right hand versus left hand has an impact on the bro. That's true. Certainly it's true to the husband and wife. As the Chazon Ish says, the whole purpose of the Hitzachus, of the coming together, they have to be one. There should be a oneness between the two of them. The clue to the tefillah, as the Chazon Ish does, the tzorech levakesh rachmin, Moshe Amru b'chol drachecha do'eyu, v'yash erach osech, hazal tein ispasech b'chol matzecha, yiyu l'shem shamayim. First, everything he does should be l'shem shamayim. His marriage is l'shem shamayim, and he conducts himself in the marriage l'shem shamayim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, in fact, lead him in the path of fear. Let us hope that these shiurim, which is the series of shiurim, will be helpful for you in your present life, in your future life. And the truth is, it's many of the lessons that we learned here are applicable even beyond the kind of the marriage. How do you deal with other people? How do you deal with the Ben Torah? Because after all, we want to live all of our lives like the Ben Torah. We should married life like B'nai Torah, we should be in best members like B'nai Torah. We should even go to college like B'nai Torah. We should even take our vacation, quote unquote, coming up like B'nai Torah. Everything like B'nai Torah. We do this, Mr. Shem, we'll be Zohar to the Brochas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wish you all luck on your final exam. I wish you luck on your Bechina if you haven't taken it yet. I'm around today for the day to take the acceptance. I'll be here next week in Tavim Lishu Chapter 2. I bid Hashem be matzliach and in your penis and your qualification. We'll come back on January 25th. 5th, the Monday, with the Gemara in Tzuba to the Shulchan Aruch Avraham Ezer, ready to learn about Medrash, 9 a.m. And we'll discuss then the final suspicions about what the state of Yom is going to be for the next month. Okay.